Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, if you're a guest here today, we want you to know we celebrate the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us that there's no other name that we can be saved by but the name of Jesus. And there are people in this place who have been healed by the power of the name of Jesus. There are people in this place who have been delivered and set free by the power of the name of Jesus. The power of that name. Amen. We're so happy for everyone who's here today. And let me just, first of all, thank our young people for worshiping with us. God bless you. And we're just delighted that we have teenagers who love God, have a passion for God. And that's awesome. We are very happy to have our bishop for the state of Wisconsin and our first lady, Brother and Sister Putnam, with us. Brother and Sister John Putnam have served the Wisconsin district as our bishop for the last 18 years. And our district has more than doubled under his leadership. He is a visionary man. I am so very thankful for our friendship. And I am so grateful that we have a man of God, that we would have a revival district in part because of him, not in spite of him. He is just, I mean, championing revival direction in our church. And I'm so very thankful for him. I also want to mention, it's good to see Sister Boyd in the house of the Lord today. Sister Boyd, we love you. Good to see you. If you're thankful for a great leader in the Wisconsin district, would you clap your hands and welcome Brother John Putnam.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Oh, let's lift our hands and our voices in praise to Jesus Christ, who deserves all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Good to be back at ATC. It's good to be back with your pastor and his wife, Brother and Sister Soto, and all the other licensed ministers in our Wisconsin district that are here. Amen. Especially want to give honor to the Turners. Went to see Sister Turner yesterday, and thank God she's recovering, and amen. And I want to give honor to Brother and Sister John Bridges. Amen. God bless the Bridges. Amen. And it's good to be with all of you. Of course, as old as we're getting, it's good to be any place. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, I would like for you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. And also 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and also to the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now, I don't know about you, but I am truly excited about what Jesus Christ is doing around the world. Amen. God has been doing, he's always done great things. But folks, I believe that God has just given us a space of grace. Amen. And I pray that in these next few years, that America has a resounding change and comes back more in line with Jesus Christ. Amen. And I am very, very anticipated and excited about that. How many knows that Jesus is a really, matter of fact, the greatest of all teachers? And Jesus, so many times in his teaching, he did basically object lessons, or he did things by hands-on. And today, if you would look at this passage of Scripture in verse 22 of Luke chapter 8, It says, now it came to pass on a certain day. Everybody say a certain day. Doesn't say there's anything special about that day, but it's a certain day. And I'm here to tell you today is a certain day. And for someone in this house or several in this house today, this may be a great opportunity for you, as it was for his disciples, that Jesus would teach us something. Amen. So now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Everybody say they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. Now, because he's both God and man, the human side of him, of course, grew weary and grew tired. And so he went to sleep. But we serve a God that never slumbers or sleeps, as far as the spirit is concerned. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm. Everybody say a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. And then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And everybody said, and there was a calm. And there was a calm. The 18th chapter of Luke, the last part of the 8th verse, Jesus said, Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You're hearing this morning, I want to preach to you on don't panic. Say it with me. Don't panic. There is a reason. Would you lift up your hands and your voices, and let's pray that God would speak to us today. Father, in your glory and your grace, God, I just want to give you all the thanks and all the honor. I pray, God, that you would take a hot coal and touch my lips and my mind. And I pray, dear Lord God, that you would minister to your people today. And God, I pray for your results, Father. And we'll be very careful, Lord, to give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. For you and you alone are deserving of it. In the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. And everybody said in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Now why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? And why don't you shout about the goodness of God to your life? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Turn to your neighbor, shake their hand, look them in the eye, smile real big and say, don't panic. And you may be seated. The Gospel of John begins with a very powerful verse of Scripture. Matter of fact, it is so powerful that it literally can grasp the reader if we will allow it to. And it's just like the very first verse of the whole Bible. Genesis 1:1 reads, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I have no doubt that my God is the creator. I do not believe in evolution. I do not believe that we have evolved. I know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God himself. Amen. We were created in his image. And in the verse in the Gospel of John, it states, in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, these two inaugural verses of both the Old Testament and the Gospel of John are stating the exact same message. In the beginning, God, and God is the Word. God is the creator of all things. God is the creator. John goes on and writes in verse 14 of the Gospel of chapter 1, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And John, being an eyewitness of Jesus, states, "And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full," everybody say full, "amen, of grace and truth." Brothers and sisters, man never could and never will become God. Do you hear me? I don't care how much Shirley MacLaine goes out on the beaches of California and proclaims that she's some kind of God. But man never will and never could become God. But the eternal Almighty God did put on flesh and did become a man. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, says, "For we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light," everybody say the light, "of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure." I don't know about you, but I have a treasure living on the inside of me. It's far worth more than the crown jewels of England. It's far worth more than the treasury of any country. It is the power and the authority and the love of Almighty God on the inside. Anybody have that same power and authority on the inside of you? Paul, also writing to the church in Colossae, wrote about Christ. He says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things," everybody say all things, "were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." I'm here this morning to emphatically state once again, church, for all of us to hear and all of us to understand, that Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. Amen. He's not the second part of some triune system. He is the full enchilada. He is, amen, the head of the body, Jesus Christ Almighty. He's the everlasting Father. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Word made flesh. And because he is God, manifested in the flesh, he cannot lie. God cannot lie. Matter of fact, the Old Testament, book of Numbers, Numbers 23 and 19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" And the New Testament confirms this in Hebrews 6 and 16. In the New Living Translation, it says, so God has given his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a great comfort to me. Amen. You can always bank on the fact that whatever your God says through his word, it is forever established. It is forever and throughout eternity, it is so. So church, I've tried to lay that little foundation and that biblical knowledge and understanding that God's word is true. His promises are sure, so that when the Lord's disciples went on board that ship that was resting on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and as they went on board at the Lord's bidding, and he went on board with them, this is the same one that said to his disciples that he would make his disciples fishers of men. So when Jesus stated to them, brethren, let us go over to the other side. I ask you, church, based on the word of God, what were the chances of that ship getting to the other side? 25%? 50%? How many would say it was 100% proposition? Because God said, let us go to the other side. Amen? You see, the Logos, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, had stated that they were going to the other side. Church, I'm telling you, it was a done deal. Amen. But the gospel account states, as we've read, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? When the storm of wind hit, and the waves became treacherous, and the water began to splash into the ship, the disciples, I'm talking about Peter, I'm talking about all of those 12 apostles, Matthew. I'm talking about the whole group. Those disciples amazingly went into full panic mode. And they scream like babies. We're going to perish. Wake up, Jesus. Don't you care that we're all going to die? We're going to drown. I'm talking about professional fishermen here. Well, I'm here this morning to bring to you God's message. And listen very carefully, church, every one of us, that when the storms of life come against you full force, don't panic. There is a reason. You see, I would remind all of us today that Jesus has also reached out to each and every one of us that are here today with an incredible opportunity that is simply out of this world. The moment that you and I received the Lord's forgiveness, and when we repented of our sins, and when those sins were washed away in the precious name of Jesus Christ in baptism, just like we've already witnessed with this young man, and when we receive the awesome gift of the Holy Ghost, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, the Lord also has led you and I to get in a vessel. We call it the church. Amen. It's a ship, if you please. And when you and I came on board the vessel, we too have launched out into the vast unknown on this sea called life. And at this present moment, we are all heading for the other side. Amen. Church, the good news is Jesus Christ is on board. That's the good news. I'm not taking that for granted. There's a lot of people in this world that don't have a clue. Amen. I don't care who had won the election. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, church, would have stood, been sure it's still destined to go to the other side. And church, I thank God that I'm a part of the church. How about you? Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord. And we might as well admit it this morning that every one of us has faced some pretty rough storms along this journey. Tough storms that have come against our faith, as well as this old gospel ship of Zion, the church. But as the songwriter penned many, many years ago, the anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. How many have fallen on our knees as we face the raging seas? The anchor holds in spite of the storm. Do you remember when God brought you through that situation? Do you remember when God brought you through that problem? Whether it was financial, whether it was your health, amen, whether it was some relationship situation. You remember when God brought you through and you didn't see that there was any possibility, amen, for you to get through that? Well, my friend, I want you to know that through the storms of all, if you stay on board the vessel, he said, we're going to the other side. And you can mark it down, folks. We're going to the other side. Hallelujah. How do I know that? Because I know that the anchor is the word of God, and heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass away. Church, just don't panic. Don't panic when you're being tossed by the storms of life. You know, our emphasis when we're going through the storms should always be on going through. Hello? I'm telling you, there will always be a reason for your storm. But unfortunately, it's all right if I tell the truth here today, isn't it? Is that all right with you? But unfortunately, so many times we react just like the disciples did. We so easily forget that it is Christ that is in our hearts. And when we are being tossed to and fro, we too often forget who is on board the ship. The one that said very plainly, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Church, he's with us. I said he is with us. Not just when you come into the church house. It's when you walk out, everywhere you're at, he is with us. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. I wasn't here very long here in Wisconsin, and it was my first year. I think, Brother Bridges, we were heading for a board meeting or a planning session, and it was my first October, first one being on the board, and we had a van, and we were coming up by New Glarus, Wisconsin, and all of a sudden, this deer, not D-E-A-R, but D-E-E-R, really wanted to meet me. And as hard as I put on the brakes, it just kept on going. I couldn't stop fast enough, and whack, I had hit my very first deer. And a man in our church, he said, well, Pastor, Did you say the critter prayer? I said, the what? He said, the critter prayer. And I said, well, I guess you're going to have to fill me in. I've never heard of such a thing. He said, well, Pastor, here in Wisconsin, you better pray before you start out that God would keep his animals off the road before you. And you know what, Brother Aaron Soto? I started putting that into practice. Matter of fact, my wife can admit, every day we get in the car, I ask God to keep his animals off the road before us. Now, I'm saying this to just show you that God's with us. Now, my son-in-law, who pastors in Monroe, he tells me, he just thinks I'm being kind of ridiculously far out there. And he said, you know, Pastor, I just really think that praying about this all the time is just not all that necessary. Because, you know, God's with us anyways. I think I read a scripture, too, that says if we ask not, we what? Have not. So it's good that we ask, right? And so consequently, one time, Chris, my son-in-law, was with me, and we were going down this highway, and all of a sudden, I didn't even see the deer. It was coming directly, perpendicular to our car, and all of a sudden it jumped up and turned around and kept running right beside us. Chris looked at me and said, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. What I'm saying, church, is God isn't just with us when we're in service. God isn't just with us. Amen. He's with us all the time. And we can rest assured that when we go through problems, God is with us. And we don't need to panic. Hallelujah. Amen. It's just so easy for us, amen, to read this event in Luke's gospel and then stop reading just short of the intended reason for the story. Because it's wonderful. If you read the account, we think that as soon as Jesus calmed the storm, that is the end of the story. Oh, no. No way. Because in the 24th verse of Luke 8, it says, and he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Everybody say, a calm. And when that happened, the disciples were absolutely in a Kodak moment. They were going, now isn't it amazing? They went to Jesus, they woke him up, Master, carest thou not when we perish? And then when Jesus does what he can only do and calms the whole thing and the storm ceases, then they're going, well, why'd they ever wake him up if they didn't think he would do something like that? Sometimes do you ever realize that when we pray and we ask God for things and then he does it, we go, Pastor, I can't believe it. He answered my prayer. Folks, God wants to answer our prayers because he wants his children to rely upon him. Amen. They were horrified over the howling wind and the raging sea, the relentless crashing of the water. They were in absolute wonderment as Jesus simply stood up and stated, peace, be still. And you know what they said? What manner of man is this? Well, I'll tell you what manner of man he is. He's God-man. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He is indeed the first and the last. He is able to do all things. But before, listen carefully, church, before Jesus solved the evident problem at hand, before he said, "Peace be still," before he walked to the bow of that ship, before he rebuked the wind and the waves, he first rebuked his disciples. What? And this is what he said. Where is your faith? Hello. You see, church, it's so easy to live for God when all is well. When there are no problems, no sicknesses, no financial situations. But where is your faith when you are going through the most difficult hours of your life? Your insurmountable problems, just like the disciples, the storm that these disciples were facing while in the ship had absolutely nothing to do. Listen, that storm had nothing to do with the disciples. Brother Putnam, are you reading the same Bible I'm reading? Yeah. Because that storm was only a distraction. Because God, in flesh, had already stated to his disciples, do you really think that Jesus said, come on, guys, let's get in the boat, and let's go over the other side, and I'm going to drown y'all before we get there? That's not the kind of Savior I'm serving. Amen. He's one that wants to protect you, Nick. He's one that wants to keep you, Brother Turner. He's one that wants to help us all the way through. Now, there's difficult things that we will go through. God knows that, and some more severe than others. But what I'm telling you is that when you're going through it, don't panic about it, because there really is a reason on the other side of this thing. You see, church, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. The other side was what this trip was all about. Huh? Did not Jesus say, I'm going to make you fishers of what? Of what? Men. Jesus was just taking them on a fishing trip. But not for fish. Because when they got to the other side, all of a sudden, here came a man as naked as a jaybird running up to him. He's called the demoniac of Gadara. He has been enslaved by evil spirits for years. His whole family has completely abandoned him. They can't even keep him bound. And yet when Jesus steps to the other side, here is his one opportunity, praise God. Here is his one opportunity, not only to be delivered, but praise God for his family, for his generation, for the people that he lives in the town around. Amen. You read it, folks. That was the reason for the trip. It wasn't about the storm. It was about, amen, that God was going to help on the other side. And isn't it interesting, church, that the disciples, they weren't thinking anything about the other side. They were only thinking about me, myself, and I. Do you realize that if they would have all gathered around Christ and said, Jesus, enough is enough. Turn this boat, we're turning this boat around, and we're going back. And if they would have done that, they would have missed the whole purpose of the trip. Church, serious as I can be, we got to understand that this journey across life is not about us. It is about him being glorified in and through us. But I'm telling you, Jesus was soul conscious, and he wants you and I as his body, amen, to be soul conscious that we are willing to even go out of our way. Amen. Did you read that there where they were crying out, Master, Master, carest thou not, Sister Valerie, that we perish? You know, how many times have we prayed, God, don't you care about us? And what are they? Sometimes we're going, hey, God, remember me? Now, you're getting silent, but you know what I'm talking about. Hello? When God is asleep in your situation, when God is indeed in the backsides and you don't feel him and you think that he's abandoned you, my friend, he is still on board. I'm telling you, when God got on board that boat, he didn't change. And when God came into our lives, he hasn't changed to this very moment because he wants all of us, amen, to get to the other side. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord. So how about it, church? Why don't we take a step of spiritual maturity today and determine, God, I recognize that you are with me. Your word declares that you are with me. And even though I may not feel it, I may not sense it, but because of your word, I believe it. And God, I'm determined by God's grace not to panic. Stand with me all over this room. Listen, church. I just wonder how many spiritual storms that you personally have endured. I've been living for God now, thank God, for over 45 years. And, you know, there's been a lot of opportunities. There's been a lot of letdowns. There's been some sicknesses. There's been, you know, some surgeries. There's been, you know, financial questions. I can remember when my wife and I got married, bro. Coming home from our honeymoon, and we had 12 bucks to our name. We started this whole thing on 12 bucks. And for me to start thinking now that he can't provide, for me to start thinking now that he can't heal, for me to start thinking now that he can't put situations back together, for me to start thinking now, I would advise us all, rather than running and trying to get away from our situations, that we just do what the Bible tells us to do. Come unto me, he said, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to know that God loves you so much, he went to Calvary's cross to die just for you, just for me. And whatever problem that you're facing right now, maybe you've not yet experienced being born again. Maybe you've not yet turned the reins over to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've not yet been water baptized in his name to identify with him. And maybe you have not yet received his Holy Ghost, his Spirit inside of you. If that's the case, I'm telling you, today is a great day for you. Say, well, Brother Putnam, I've tried before, and I just, The Bible doesn't say you might, you could. It says, and ye shall receive the gift of God. Ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. For the promise. I was just telling Brother Soto in his office this morning or last night at dinner, my son went on a hunting trip. I don't hunt. I got my deer 45 years ago, and I'm still chasing her. But my son shot a buck with his bow, and he couldn't go hunting then that night. And there was another man in the lodge from Pennsylvania or New York, I forget which. And they were both sitting in the lodge, never had met one another. He asked my son, he says, "So what do you do for a living?" My son says, "I'm a pastor." He said, "Oh, really?" He said, "With what church?" He said, "United Pentecostal Church." He says, "Really?" He says, "My brother is a Assembly of God missionary." He said, "But I don't go to that type church." He says, "I go to some type of community church." He said, "You know," he said, "I prayed for the Holy Ghost before, but I've never received it. And I really prayed earnestly, but I guess God just doesn't want me to have it." My son said to him, this just happened last Sunday. My son said to him, said, "Well, Brian, God's promised this to you." He said, "Would you like to pray?" And he said, "Well, would you come down to my room and pray for me?" John said, "I sure would." They went down to his room. John David told me, he said, it wasn't 3 minutes, and he began to start speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Church, don't panic. John said to him, says, "You know, you still need to be baptized in Jesus' name." Brian said, "It's dark outside." Brian says, "Well, you know, John, there's a pond right behind this lodge." And they went out in the dark, and John David baptized him in Jesus' name. Church. Church. And guess what? Brian just got on board a vessel that's now heading to the other side. I invite every one of you that is struggling, going through a problem, having a situation that you have no idea what to do, how to do it, let me tell you today, why don't you bring that situation right up here without panic, without indeed, if you need the Holy Ghost, amen, if you need to ask God to forgive you of your sins, praise God, just come on, come on, come on, lift up your hands and lift up your voice to God. Just don't panic over your situation and let God have his way, hallelujah, in your life. And God will help you through every situation, amen. Because after that demoniac got delivered, Jesus said, "Okay, guys, let's go back to the other side." Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus' name. He can heal you, folks. He can provide for you. He can get you through this problem. Hallelujah. He can make the way where you don't see that there's any way. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's it, church. That's it, with all your heart. With all your heart. Hallelujah. With all your heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I'm giving you my all, God, right now, Lord. I don't understand what we're going through. I don't understand what the doctors told me. I don't understand it, God, but all I know is, God, we're going through, Jesus. We're going to go through, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes, God. There's nothing impossible for him. Just don't panic. Just don't panic. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, reach out and pray for one another. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.